need faith to fulfill the word of God. And so I'm also kind of going to talk about the armor of God. And so actually I have a different main verse up there on the back screen. It's Mark 4:31 through 32, but my first verse actually will be Ephesians 6:10 if you would like to go in there to your Bible. Feel like you're rushed. I had a little bookmark here, so. And this verse says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So, what it's saying in this scripture is that... what it basically says in there is that you need the armor of God to overcome the devil and to not let him get in your life. So today, I'm gonna go through some of the, actually all of the things in the Bible God mentions for the armor of God. So, and I'm going in order of how the Bible describes and how the Bible talks about them. So how the order I'm talking about these are the order it says in the Bible. So the first one, God says to put on the loins girt of truth. So basically that what that means is belt of truth. It means to clip on a belt of truth, basically. I don't have the exact definition, so... So that's basically what it means. So it's the belt of truth. What it's telling you here is to put on the belt of truth. And that, the belt of truth, you need that for the armor of God. You need all these pieces to withstand the devil, how it talks about in that verse. So the first one is basically belt of truth. And the second one, you might be a little familiar with this, the breastplate of righteousness. So a breastplate, it's something that goes over your chest, and basically it guards your chest and from anything attacking you or so that... What the breastplate does is it protects your chest, basically. So it's the breastplate of righteousness. Again, you need it to fulfill the armor of God. And now the second one. Actually, this one is a pretty tricky one once you first read it. You don't fully understand it. So what the scripture says, it says... And have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, what may feet shod mean? So basically, that means to tie on. Or, so it's telling you to tie on your feet. So basically, how I put it is maybe something like boots of the preparation of the gospel of peace. So you can think of it as like boots or shoes that you tie on. It's what the scripture says. So again, I'll try not to mention this every time, but you need that to complete the armor of God. So, next, this I feel like a lot of people are familiar with, the shield of faith. So, of course, most people know the shield, you hold it up with your hand, and it protects you wherever you put it. It's basically what the shield of faith does. So, your faith protects you from all those stuff that's coming in any way. And I will talk more about faith later. And now the helmet of salvation. So what the helmet does is it protects your head. Like the breastplate did, it protected your chest. And the shield, it protected where you put it. Now the helmet of salvation protects your head. So you need the helmet of salvation to fulfill the armor of God. Now, the sword of the Spirit. But actually, this I did not know. It's pretty interesting. The scripture says the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we need the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to fulfill the armor of God and protect us from the devil. So, and this is all in the Word of God. So, yeah, so it says basically belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, boots of the preparation of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So that's basically what he's telling you is the armor of God. Now I have another scripture. It is Mark 4:31 through 32. And actually how I found this was I was looking actually in a different Bible because mine doesn't have any like parable section. If you do, you can turn to like the back of your Bible. It might have a section where it has like different parables. And it shows you where the scripture is in the different parables, and it labels the different parables. So, actually, I found this. I'm not going to tell you what the parable is, though. I almost did, so. I don't want to spoil. Mark 4:31 through 32. Okay, it says, and he said, wrong scripture. It says, it is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that all the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So basically what he's talking about here now is he's talking about a parable of a mustard seed. Now, I've heard in different sermons that a mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds. So, you see, what he's saying here is the faith of just a little mustard seed. You need that shield of faith. Just the faith of a mustard seed. Little tiny bit of faith. They've used in other sermons, you can move mountains. And I have here, with the faith of just a little mustard seed, that faith of a mustard seed can turn into obedience. And obedience to prayer. And prayer to the gospel. And the gospel to a missionary or a preacher. So you, just with that tiny, tiny little speck of faith, you can become a missionary or a preacher And you can preach around the whole earth. And, but, so, I'd like to say, I believe that the main key to the armor of God is faith. I say you need faith to have the armor of God. You need that shield of faith. You need to be able to, because the helmet, it can't cover your eyes, because you see your eyes, you wouldn't be able to see. So if something's coming at them, you use a shield. And if something's coming at your leg and you don't have any equipment on your leg, you use your shield, you block your leg. So you need that faith to be able to fulfill the armor of God. You need that faith to be able to withhold the devil. And so that's what I'd like to say here. Again, the title, Faith to Fulfill. You need faith to fulfill the armor of God. You need faith to fulfill the word of God. And so I have one more scripture. And this one is a really impactful one, I believe. It's Hebrews 11:6. Now, if you know this verse, you'll know this is... So I won't spoil any of it, but I'll let you get there. Hebrews 11:6. Let me get there. Okay. And it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Wow. That's an impact of what? Like, what it's saying here is basically without faith, it is impossible to please even God himself. So you don't just need faith to be a missionary or a preacher. You don't just need faith to be able to fulfill the armor of God. You don't just need faith to overcome the devil. You need faith to even please God. So without faith, you cannot, it is impossible to please him, God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So basically now what he's saying is, if you come to God, you must believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He's saying, you can't just think, well, I have faith, so if I have faith, and so that means, you can't just think, I have faith, so I get to see God. I get to please him. No, you can't just think that. You have to think, well, he rewards other people when they have faith. And why wouldn't he reward me now? I'm having faith. And not even that. You have to, so also, not even just that. Like, like Thomas. When God came to the disciples in the upper room, Thomas wasn't there. And when the disciples saw God, they came to Peter and they said, well, we saw God. He came in the upper room. But Thomas, he chose not to believe without seeing. You can't just see other people that have faith and are able to please God because they have that. You can't just have faith because of that. You need to have faith because you want to please God. You have to have faith because you want to do His will. You have to have faith to be able to put on the armor of God. You need the belt of truth. You need the breastplate of righteousness. You need the boots of the preparation of the gospel of peace. You need the shield of faith. You need the helmet of salvation. You need the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You need all those things to do that. And most importantly, like I said, what I believe the main key is faith. You need faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so, I love the thought of Hebrews 11:6. And I love the thought of Mark 4:31 through 32. I love the thought of Ephesians 6:10 through 11. Like, I love those thoughts. Like, I just love that God puts these in His word and He tells you. He's like, without faith it's impossible to please Him. And with His parable in Mark 4:31 through 32, with just the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And Ephesians 6:10 through 11, put on the armor of God, for you will be able to withhold the devil. So what it's talking about, talks about the shield of faith, and what I'm saying today is you need faith to fulfill the task God has given you. You need faith to fulfill the armor of God. You need faith to even please the Lord Himself. You need faith to fulfill the word. You need faith. You need faith to fulfill the... Well, you need faith to fulfill even just pleasing God Himself. You need faith to be a missionary or a preacher. You can't go preaching the gospel and go preaching and not believe that any of this is true. You can't go and talk to people about Jesus when you don't believe Him Himself. No, you have to have faith. You have to have faith. You have to have the armor of God. And you know what you need to have the armor of God? You need faith. Like, just with the faith of a mustard seed, you can fulfill His word. You can please Him. Just with the faith of a little mustard seed, you can move mountains. You can become a missionary, a preacher. And with just the faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And I just love what God says in His word, because, like, just the thought of it, like, knowing that you believe Him and you have faith and you are able to please Him. You are able to fulfill the armor of God. You are able to do this stuff because you have faith. Like, it's just a funny thought. Think of a missionary or a preacher coming to preach at your church and preaching the gospel and then come back to you in the background and said, "Oh no, I don't believe any of that. I was just telling you that for no reason. I don't believe that. That was just false advice, 100%. No, that can't happen. That's not a thing. You need faith. You need faith to do this stuff. You need faith to fulfill the word of God. You need faith to please Him Himself. Like, that's just a great thought. Like, you need faith to please God Himself. Like, it's just such a great thought that you can have that faith and that you can please God and that you can have the armor of God. And I just love to think of the thought. Like, it's just such a good thought that you can think and you're like, well, I have faith. And since I have faith, I can be a missionary when I grow up. I can be a preacher when I grow up. I can fulfill the word of God even now. I can have the armor of God because I have faith. I can go through the world and preach the gospel of God because I have faith. It's just such a great thought to think about it. And so let's just read Hebrews 11:6 one more time. I just love that thought. And so this will be my last verse, closing thing, and a pastor can come up and preach. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, for you have to have faith to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You have to believe that he's God. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You can't go in with faith and say, hey, God, I fulfilled this, but I don't think anybody else is going to fulfill this. No, I don't think anybody's going to be able to be here. No, no. So it says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you need faith. You need faith to fulfill the armor of God. You need faith to fulfill. You need faith to fulfill the word. You need faith to please him himself. And I'm closing here. I'm just going to say one more thing. You need faith to please him. You need faith to be able to do this right here. You need faith. What the Lord says in here. And no, that doesn't mean you have to obey all 10 commandments in one day. No, that's impossible for human people. But no, I'm saying you need faith to fulfill the word of God. You need faith for the armor of God. And I just love that thought. And I'll let Pastor come up here now.
Come on, how about we worship him right now in faith? Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's talk about that later, Bob. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You got faith today. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to pull a little trick on Sister Camille. I'm going to move on down here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wasn't that a blessing? Thank you, Brother William, for sharing your heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll tell you, the first time I preached, I got excited. I jumped on the chair. And when that Holy Ghost hits you, you get passionate. Like William, you get passionate about it when the Holy Ghost comes over you. Hallelujah. And you've got that anointing. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Brother William took all my time, so I'm going to preach much shorter. Brother Victor, if you don't mind grabbing those handouts, thankfully yielded my time to Brother William, and I'm thankful for him in that sermon. Well, I would be blessed if he did so. Today, I am going to be teaching. This is going to be a follow-up to last week. I had said that I would do this. This is going to be really switching it up on everybody, especially after that powerhouse message. Hallelujah. But I'm going to talk about finances. Yeah, I didn't get any woo-hoos on that one. Hallelujah. But I'm going to talk about finances. Last week, if you were not here, we talked about stewardship and being good managers of the resources that God had given us. And part of that, we talked about our finances. We had long discussion about tithes and offerings, the place for them in scriptures, and all of that. I'm not going to repeat all of that, but rather we're just going to focus on just what the Bible says about managing finances. This was something that God really convicted me on this Sunday, is that a lot of times we sit around, we talk about how God's a healer, God's a provider, and all these things, and yet we are not the greatest image of that. We're unhealthy, and we don't, you know, we're struggling financially and mentally and emotionally and all those things. Listen, I'm not saying that that stuff doesn't get attacked and that it can't be difficult to manage those things, but I truly believe that God can help us find healthy living, not just physically, but He can help us find healthy living emotionally and mentally and obviously financially. I believe He can help us to find financial health. And there are so many verses. So today, yes, a lot of this is going to be some advice and things like that. But every single point that I have just about, you see, there's a verse that's connected with it. The Bible talks about finances way more than I can talk about finances tonight. In fact, Jesus Himself made finances a hot topic. 11 out of the 38 parables He spoke on had to do with finances. So this isn't a prosperity message, right, that just says, oh, you're going to be rich and you never have to worry about anything else. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about financial health, not necessarily financial wealth. And there is a difference. So Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, just kind of started out here. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. This is a huge verse of Scripture, because it's not just saying He's going to give you all this money. He's saying He's going to give you the things that you need, but He's going to do it without the normal cost that comes with riches and wealth. Pastor Kyle in West Palm, you've probably heard me say this before, but I heard him, it was a couple months ago now, a few months ago. He was preaching, and he made this statement. I thought this was so good. He said, you know what? Some of you would be millionaires right now if God thought you'd be saved and a millionaire. Right? That is financial health. It's, and listen, if some of us were millionaires, we wouldn't survive it. We would physically use that money to make unhealthy choices. Why would God bless that? Because I'm not saying God won't make you wealthy. I pray God makes every single person here wealthy. But God's priority is to make you healthy. Oh, I feel God, hallelujah, in that. His priority is to make you healthy. He will not fill your pocket if it means that it's going to bring pain and depression or even might cost you your eternal soul. He will not do it. Praise God. But if I can, with the help of God, manage my finances, find the right priorities to place on my finances, then maybe God might just give me some financial help. Hallelujah. Health and wealth for me to walk in. So the blessings of God doesn't just give an abundance, it gives health. Everybody say, the priority is health. Not wealth, health. I want you to consider, all right, and it's just to put it into perspective, most of the Old Testament patriarchs were financially healthy men. Abraham, it says, was so wealthy that he couldn't even hang out with his cousin anymore or his nephew anymore. They had to split off, hallelujah, because both of them were becoming so wealthy that they couldn't remain in the same area together. King Solomon, right, was the richest man to ever live. Why is that? Because of his wisdom. He prayed for wisdom, God gave him wealth. Because his priority was right. His priority wasn't wealth, it was wisdom. And God said, you know what? If you ask for wisdom, I'm going to give you all the other things as well. Hallelujah. I believe that is a part of health. We need to seek health, financial health. Consider Joseph. Joseph excelled in business, in financial handling. He did all that in the most devastating positions as a slave and then a prisoner. But because of his wisdom, because of his knowledge of biblical principles, because of his courage, because of his loyalty, because he wasn't a liar, he was trustworthy, then God blessed him. And it got the attention to where all of those things that he used as a slave that got him to be top as a slave in the slaves, right? Second in the house of Potiphar, I believe it, what it said. And then he, in the prison, was placed as the prison guard, just right under the prison guard. Why is that? Is because they saw him as somebody that was trustworthy, even in those positions. And look where it led him. Next to Pharaoh, in a very, very wealthy position. And it's because he prioritized the right things. Even though it wasn't his finances, his money, he prioritized wisdom and health, and so then God would bless it every single time. So we've got to prioritize our financial health as well as spiritual, mental, physical, and all of those things. I talked on Sunday about healing in his wings. Talking about the wings being the rays of the sun. It says the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Well, there's a passage of scripture in the book of Revelations that says the woman, which a woman is example of the church, is clothed with the sun. What does that mean? In fact, it means she is clothed with health. When people look at her, they see the healing power of Jesus. I want to be an example of Jesus Christ. Amen. That doesn't mean I have to be an example of riches. I want to be the example of health. When I have healthy living, then I am that example of Jesus Christ that he has given us. That makes sense here today? Hallelujah. We're going to go through these very quickly. I see that time is already getting the best of me. But let's talk about just a few biblical principles to money handling. Number one, when we put God first in our finances, he will add to us what we need. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I can't keep getting off on these things, but I was reading, and I've told a couple of you this, reading the life of David. You know how David wanted to build a temple for God? Well, the Bible says that David went to Nathan and told him, I want to build God a temple. Nathan at first said, yeah, go ahead and do it. Then he walked away, and God spoke to him and said, no, go tell David, I see his priority. It's not my will for him to do it, but this is what he said. He uses the same word usage. David said, I want to build God a house. God said, you cannot build me a house. He says, but because of your priorities, I'm going to build your house. That's what he said to David. Oh, praise God. When I have the right priorities in Christ, then God is going to build my house. I believe that there's some people today, God's going to build you a home. I don't mean just a physical home. I mean a healthy home and family system. He's going to bless your finances. He's going to bless your marriage. He's going to bless your children. When you make him your priority, then he makes your home his priority. You believe that today? Go ahead and clap your hands in Jesus' name. Look at this, Proverbs 8:21. Hallelujah, and I'm making a task for Sister Camille as well. Proverbs 8:21, it says this, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. They that love me. That's number one, right? Number one is loving God. That is why I suggested last week, and I suggest today, you put that into practice by giving God your first fruits when it comes to finances. You don't wait until you see what you pay everything else, you do everything else, then you see what's left. You give God your first fruits. Why? Because that's making him a priority. Do I know if God is a priority in my finances? I know because I've made him a priority. And I put him at number one when it comes to my giving. Number two in these principles, being faithful in tithing and offerings brings financial freedom. We see that. We talked about that last week, Proverbs 3 and 9. It says to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And verse 10, it says this, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. This is a promise that if I will be faithful, honor God with my substance, make him first on the priority list, even financially, then he will fill me with plenty and he will bless us and our finances. Number three, financial health is gained. This is going to be a hard one right here. You guys ready for this? Financial health is gained through hard work and diligence. I had a coworker. I know that's you. You're a hard worker. I had a coworker. He was under me. I was his manager. This was only a few months ago. He said, you know, I just want to be able to make a lot of money and not do anything. I said, you and me both, brother. You and me both. I would love to not have to wake up in the morning at 5 a.m. to go to work. Right? I'd love to be able to just sit at home or even just sit here for the church and do stuff for the church. I'd love to do that, but you know what the Bible says? He that doesn't work doesn't eat. That's what the Bible says. He that doesn't work doesn't eat. It is a law within nature. It was the curse of Adam, right? If you want to blame anybody for having to have a job, blame Adam. It was his curse that he would have to toil to nurture the ground that it would bring an increase. In order to eat and his family to eat, he'd have to get up and go to work. Everybody look to your neighbor and tell him, go to work. Praise God. I get it. This isn't going to be nice teaching, right? But look, if you want to be financially blessed, here's what I see. And I've got a friend. He you know, I don't believe that I need to have a job. I had somebody who told me that, a friend. I don't believe I need to have a job. I live off of faith, right? And then he would proceed every couple days, every couple weeks. I need somebody to help me right now. Please give me money. Like, you're working by just begging everybody for money. And look, I get it. And look, as a church, we help each other out. We do the best we can to support each other and love each other and all of that financially. So we pool our resources and we help each other out. But at the end of the day, I need to take responsibility for my own livelihood. And it's within the law of God. If I don't work, I don't eat. Hallelujah. I'm responsible for that. Some people may wonder, why doesn't pastor just, quit his job and work for the church on faith? Maybe one day if God leads me to do that, I'll do that. But until he provides that opportunity, I'm going back to my first understanding of this law. And that says, if I don't work, my kids don't eat. And if I don't work, my family goes hungry. So I've got to be a hard worker. I tell you what, Christians should be the hardest workers. They should be the most diligent workers. And your place of business should be blessed to have you there. Absolutely. Paul was on that ship, right? And he essentially said, I know I keep pulling up verses and I don't have it all in my notes, but Paul was on that ship. He was a prisoner. He recognized that the storm was coming, but what did he tell them? He said, everything's going to be all right because I'm here. And he says, I'm here, and an angel of God told me everything's going to be all right. Look, your job should not go financially under because you're there. Right? And I'm not discounting that maybe God's got another plan and God's doing this and doing that, but your boss should recognize his blessings because of you. That's what happened to Joseph. His master recognized he was financially blessed because Joseph was his slave. Some of you, you're saying, man, yeah, I mean, I am a slave to my boss. I don't want him to be wealthy or anything like that. I get it. I have a hard time making the man wealthy. But at the end of the day, I don't work for him. I work for the Lord. Therefore, I give my best. Every single day, I give my very best. Praise God. I'm on time. I know this is practical, but I'm on time. I have to wake up early, and I have to make sure I'm there on time. I have to make sure I've got my clothes pressed and everything beforehand. I don't want there to be a reason why I can't make it there on time. I don't call out unless I absolutely have to. Why? Because I made an agreement. You pay me, I work. Therefore, I'm going to be loyal, and I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm going to go to work. Hallelujah. I'm going to obey the rules at work. I'm going to do what they ask me to do. My responsibility isn't to do things my way. Again, I've signed up for this job. I've signed up for this position. I'm not going to go try to do that position and that position unless they want me to. I'm going to be the best at what they've asked me to do. Oh, I'm telling you, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. If you take some of this advice, you're going to see favor at work. Hallelujah. You're going to see promotion. You're going to see raises. Show yourself to be faithful, and you'll see that favor. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13 and 11. Throw that up. You guys notice how most of these verses are in Proverbs? Proverbs is the book of wisdom. All it is just expressing the wisdom of financial handling. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. I believe that if I work hard, even when nobody else is watching, that God's going to bring that increase. Praise God. Next point, always seeking more and more will never bring true happiness. That's a biblical principle concerning finances. Seeking more and more will never bring true happiness. But contentment is required. What does that mean? Again, it doesn't mean that you can't pursue a promotion or you can't want a raise or to get what you, you feel like you earn every day. Again, that's just wisdom. Praise God. But what it's talking about is the feeling that there's just never enough. I'm never going to get to a point where I've got enough money. I'm never going to get to a point where I'm satisfied. I've got to have the newest iPhone. So I'm going to go work, even though I just bought an iPhone a year ago, right? I got to have the newest of the new, the newest car, the newest watch, the newest this, the newest that, praise God. That's not God's will for your life. Again, if God provides the finances and you want to have nice things, I'm not saying don't do that. But what I'm saying is, don't make pursuing wealth your priority. Make health your priority. Hallelujah. I don't care if you've got a $5,000 suit. Told this story a couple times. I was teaching, I wasn't preaching. I was leading a youth camp. This was years and years ago. I was leading it. We had a guest minister, very big name preacher in the United Pentecostal Church International. Big, big name. He was sitting up on the platform with me. I think he did it because he was just trying to connect with me. But he walks over to me. We're on the platform. Service has already started. They're worshiping. I'm worshiping. He comes up to me. He says, "You see this suit right here? $5,000 at so-and-so." Oh, wow. Says, "You see this tie?" Says something like $100. Now, he was saying that because he was proud at how frugal he was. I'm saying, I've never paid $5,000 for a car at that point. I'm thinking, this is blowing my mind. And then I just said, "Well, okay, wow. And then he walks away. And then, so I got a little bold, you know. So I walked up to him. I said, "You see this tie right here? 30 cents at Goodwill." I did. He just, okay. He was just blown away by that statement. Look, again, I'm not against having nice things. I've learned the older I get, I like nicer things. I like quality over quantity, right? So I'm not knocking those things. But it's the excessive spending that's going to destroy your health. You got to learn how to put a cap on it and learn how to be content with what you have. Absolutely. Be content with what works and not just the flashy big things. Be content. And that's the next point. Contentment is the cure for covetousness. I have to be content. Why? Because 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." It's not money itself. You could have millions of dollars in the bank account and be perfectly good in your walk with God. I don't. Praise God. Maybe one day. I don't have that, but I believe 100%. I know millionaires who are great Christians. It's okay to have wealth, but you can't love it. You can't prioritize it. Hallelujah. It can't be the thing you most value. It's got to be simply the means to which you can do the will of God in your life. Praise God. And you know what? I'm going to say that as well for work-life balance. I've kind of already talked about that. Work-life balance is so important. I go to work so that I can leave work and enjoy my life. working for God. That's why I go to work. Again, that doesn't mean that while I'm there, I'm not prioritizing it any less. Some people, their work becomes their life. I'm telling you, God needs to be your life. Hallelujah. Your walk with God needs to be your life. Prioritize your work as God leads you to. But again, recognize it is a means to a life where you're working for God. Next point, having wealth is not wrong. How it is managed is. If I don't manage my wealth in a godly way, God's not going to do it. Again, the principle or the parable of the talents, right? We talked about that the other day. Yes, it's a principle. It's a symbol of eternity, but it's also a practical. It has multiple meanings. It's also practical for us today. If I am a good steward of what I have, whether it be a lot or a little, if I'm a good steward of what I have and I manage it well, then I will be blessed with more. That is the biblical principle. I also say this, another biblical principle is you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. If you will be a hard worker, your boss is going to pay you, right? If you will pursue to be the best that you can be, you're going to find financial health. And I believe that in Jesus' name. Final point in this, clinging to earthly riches is a waste of a Christian's focus. Why is that? Because you can't take it with you, right? You can't take it with you. When you go in underground, it's not going underground with you. I guarantee if you get buried with millions of dollars, your grave is going to be vandalized, possibly by your own kin, praise God. Hallelujah. You can't take it with you. It devours. It is something that corrupts. And what that means is that, again, it doesn't last. It's not an eternal thing. Pursue eternal things. Make eternal things your priority, like the kingdom of God. Everybody look around. Tell me, what is the eternal thing in this building right here? No, not everything. What's the eternal things in this building? God, right? What else? Right, each other. Prioritize each other more than you prioritize wealth. Why? Because I may never see that $1 million. Well, let me say it like this. I may never see that $20 when I go to heaven, but I might see a soul that I gave $20 to when I go to heaven. Yeah, right? Hallelujah. That's why I want to be generous with my finances. Let me get through this. So Robert Temple, 2002, challenged Christians to follow three basic guidelines. I've already made mention of this last week. I hope to kind of break this down a little bit more, but pay God first. That means my finances, my tithes, my offerings, what God's leading me to do. Pay yourself second. Prioritize your financial health. Prioritizing your financial health means not spending your money every time you get it. It means not buying everything you want right away. It means putting some money away and then being content with what you got. Why is it important to put money away to save? It's because I guarantee you one day, it's very likely, let me say, I don't want to guarantee, in fact, I hope this doesn't happen, but it's very likely one day you're going to lose funds. You're going to financially fall apart and all that. You're going to need those finances. One day your car's going to break down and you're going to need a new car and you're going to be looking around at all the little Amazon trinkets you bought, right? And you're going to say, man, if I had just saved that money, I could have bought a car or I could have bought a house or something like that. Y'all think I'm kidding, Some people spend a lot of money on Amazon. Praise God. So pay yourself second. Then finally, learn to live on what's left. All right, just a few principles. I'm going to try to go through this quickly for financial health. Number one, trust God to supply. He's going to supply. Amen. I've been in this long enough to know He will supply all of your needs if you make Him a priority. Number two, give. You cannot give enough. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, I talk about this, the river of generosity. What does that mean? A river, it's a body of water, you know, so it starts with just simply a stream of water that's trying to empty itself out into maybe a larger pool of water. And it could be just a very small stream. Right? But eventually that stream becomes larger and bigger the more that flows through it. So it requires that the banks go wider. Right? And here's what God is saying. Sometimes we choose to dam up our finances. We build a dam and try to pull it into that spot. Listen, if you are so determined to do that, guess what the body of water does, or that stream does? It finds another path. And that's how God treats it. God says, if you will not obey my biblical principles of giving, I'll find another person to give this to, and they will do it. But look, if you allow it to go out just as quickly as it came in, then you're going to see how that body of water is going to grow and grow. The banks are going to get larger. The amounts are going to get larger. Your finances was, you know, once settled at, you know, the tens dollars. Now it's up to the hundreds dollars. Now thousands dollars. Praise God. And it just keeps on growing after that. Why? Because the Lord knows He can trust you to be a giver. It's a river of generosity. Number three, leave a margin in your spending. Again, I've addressed that. Save. You should have a percentage that you save every paycheck. Again, we believe, right? Tithe is 10% of your income to God. Set a percentage for yourself. 10%, 5%. Find out what your financial goals are. By this time, I want to have saved this amount of money. Figure out how much that's going to be required every week and set that percentage in your budget. Save. Saving is a biblical principle. I don't have time to go into all of it, but saving is a biblical principle. Another tip, stay out of debt. I'm going to tell you right now, some of the things, right now, if you want financial help, probably the first thing you should do, the first step in discovering financial help is cut up your credit cards. Credit cards are simply a tool. And you can look into the history of credit cards. The history of credit cards, it was first designed as a way in order to get people financially required or dependent on banks and the government. Cut up those cards. We keep one credit card, and the way we handle it is what we pay. We only put on that card what we know we can turn around and pay off immediately. So we do not let it sit there for weeks and months and years to build up and do all that stuff. We only put on it what we can pay off immediately because that helps our credit. Right? Everything else. And if you can't do that, if you got a credit card and it just sits there and it burns in your pocket and you're seeing that new gaming system that you have to have right now, and you're tempted, just cut them up. Get rid of them. The only things, and I'm with Dave Ramsey on this point, the only debt that you should pursue to be in is for a house. I would suggest, I know today it's hard because the housing market is insane, but owning a house is one of the first steps to financial health. It is. Because it's a long-term investment that's going to pay off. My wife and I, we were kids when we bought our house. I mean, I think I was 24. She was probably 22. All of a sudden, we felt like God wanted us to buy a house. We didn't have any money. We were working at Dunkin' Donuts at the time. We had nothing. And you know what? We had to borrow even for a down payment. We didn't even have money for a down payment. But we felt like God wanted us to buy a house. We borrowed from her brother money for a down payment. We found a house. It was, and still is, a fixer-upper. Hallelujah. And we bought that house. But you know, today, and at that time, again, everybody thought we were crazy. Why are you doing that? We were paying $500 for a two-bedroom apartment with a bath and full kitchen, laundry room, everything, $500. They thought we were crazy to go buy a house. Today, I don't even know how we would survive financially if we needed to rent an apartment today. Because we decided back then to take a risk and to purchase a house, I can tell you right now that our mortgage is maybe a fourth of what most rentals are for a two-bedroom apartment. It's maybe a fourth today. And so, again, I recognize markets and stuff like that. Be wise with it. But I really encourage you, if you don't have the finance, stuff like that, just look into it, search for it. Try to find a way to make it happen. Don't always be a renter because you're basically funding somebody else's future and not your own. Now, again, please understand that's not, I get sometimes it's not possible. So, but I'm just giving you advice. Cars are, it's most of the time it's required to put a loan down because you're not going to have that much money put in the bank. Do not buy a brand new car. That car depreciates immediately once you drive it off the parking lot. Again, find a decent car with decent mileage. Let that be, those be the only two things you put on a credit card or in credit, is a house and a car. All right, I talked about being content. I'm almost finished. Budgeting. Budgeting is so important because if you don't know what you make and you don't know what you spend, more than likely what you make is less than what you're spending. But looking at it with a close, diligent eye and saying, what are my expenses? And what am I bringing in? You'll probably be shocked and you'll say, oh, how am I surviving? And that's a good question to ask. If that's the case, two things. Time to downsize or it's time to upscale in a job. It's time to downsize, downsize your apartment, downsize your expenses, get rid of Netflix, right? You don't have to live with Netflix. All right, I know everybody thinks today we got to have these streaming services. You don't, I know, Brother Wilford, you look shocked, hallelujah. You don't have to have that. I'm telling you, there are some people who are spending $1,000 a month just on streaming services and subscriptions. Look at your subscription. Write down how many subscriptions you got and ask yourself, is all this necessary in order to live and survive? And cut out what you need to cut out. Again, budget. I just want to read this one thing. Luke 14, 28. We're talking about building financial health. Well, let's look at this. Let's talk about the financial health, the tower of a financial health. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, he's already put in an investment, then he's not able to finish it. Now it's a waste of money because he didn't take his time to make due diligence in his decisions. And in all that behold it, they mock him for it. Again, why? Because he's not the image of financial health like I believe God wants us to be. Another piece of advice, never co-sign. Don't co-sign. Don't co-sign for people. Don't put your name on it. Even if it's your second nephew who just needs help, never co-sign. Because you don't want somebody else to be responsible now for your credit and your finances. Don't put yourself in that kind of a headache. And the Bible actually suggests this. Proverbs 27 and 13 says, take his garment that is surety for a stranger. What that means is their credit is for a stranger. They've co-signed for a stranger. It says, take his garment. That's not a financially sound decision. Next one, work. Work, work, work. Work to get your finances. Work to pay off your debts. If you've got credit card debt, you got more than one credit card, get the credit card that has the least amount on it. Focus on paying that off. Pay the minimum on the other credit cards, but the credit card that has the least amount, focus to pay that off. If you can pay that off fully, then you can focus on the next one, right? And you'll have more to be able to pay for that one. And again, it's a snowball effect where you will finally be able to pay them off one by one. And then finally, listen to godly advice. I do listen to Dave Ramsey. He is excellent. There's YouTube videos, podcasts. I would say he's got definitely some of the best advice for financial health out of just pretty much anybody else I've ever listened to on the topic. I'd listen to him. Again, listen to the Word of God. And let the Word of God inform your decisions. Praise the Lord. I wish I had time for questions. I don't. But how about we stand to our feet? I do believe that if we honor God in finances, that God is going to bless them. If we honor God in our finances, we're not going to make dangerous or disastrous decisions for ourselves. Be a good steward of your life. Be a good steward of your finances. Put God first, and all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, praise the Lord. How about we just talk to the Lord for a moment? How about we make this solid in our heart? Lord Jesus, I pray, God, help me, Jesus, to be financially a good steward, Lord. I pray that under the sound of my voice, you would help us to find financial health. Lord, I pray today that you would convict us. I know I went quickly through a lot of this, but I pray you would convict us. Help us today, Lord Jesus, to not just hear this advice and pass it on, but Lord Jesus, to recognize that, Lord, you want to bless our finances, but you can't bless us, Lord, if it's not going to be healthy blessing. You won't bless us, Lord Jesus, if it's going to take us out of of the church. You won't bless us, Lord God, if it's going to bring depression and pain, Lord. But if I will find a foundation of wisdom and knowledge, and I will build good principles, Lord God, if I will budget and save and be responsible with what you have given me, then, Lord, I know that you're going to put into action your parable, and you will bless me. You will give me more. You will give me an abundance, Lord Jesus. You will bless my family, and you will allow me, Lord God, to walk in your goodness, Lord. Oh, in Jesus' name, Lord, help us to become symbols, Lord God, of health in this world. Let us be examples, Lord, of people who have self-discipline in our finances, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. How about we clap our hands? How about we praise him for another moment? Lord, I love you, God. Thank you, Jesus, God. I praise you, Lord. Oh, you are good, Lord Jesus. You are great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you need any more advice, specific advice, I'd encourage you to not talk to me. Talk to my wife. You know, one thing I didn't include in this, there has to be unity in the home. There has to be unity in the home. I 100% believe that when you get married, your finances, your resources need to be brought together. I could teach a whole lesson on just that. Why? It's because you don't want secrets between the two of you. You don't want the devil to get a foothold in your relationship. So I would suggest complete openness between the two of you if you're married. And every decision that is made needs to be made together. Some people might say, well, why do you got to ask your wife if you can go out to eat? It's because it's not just my money. It's her money, right? And chances are she probably knows more about where our money's at than I do at that very moment. Praise God. Become a good teammate and team members. Become a team in financial health. All right, God bless you. Again, I know this was different. It's not always like this on Wednesday nights, but I believe the Lord has blessed us. We are dismissed in Jesus' name. God bless you. Excited to see you on Sunday. Amen.